22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, Frank, you ready? Magical Engineer Frank is ready. I'm ready. Yeah, thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. We're going to be talking about the first part of the show, 3D printer food. Yeah, way of the future. Yeah, the food just come right off your printer, Frank. We're going to talk about that. And we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to righteous men and women in uniform. Hitting the knees, seeking Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. And our devotional is John 15. And Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Amen to that. Seek the Lord's face. He has love for you. If you think you don't have any, seek his face. He's got plenty. And mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Go ahead. So, Frank, the quack report's pretty good size tonight. First up, CDC withholds data on the heart inflammatory issues following the COVID-19 vaccine. Lots of reports on the adverse side effects, deaths linked to this COVID thing, and the Center for Disease Control has declined to release updated information on these reported cases of myocarditis and pericarditis following the vaccination. So the agency has previously revealed that coronavirus vaccines can cause inflammatory conditions. In the past, the CDC has regularly reported the number of post-vaccination myocarditis, heart muscle inflammation cases, to the vaccine adverse event reporting system. And as it continues with these advisories on these updates, the CDC is supposed to help manage that. Well, at the meeting on September 12th, the CDC didn't share these details about recent VIRS data. And when they were asked for the information, the CDC spokesman referenced the CDC study that covers data only through October 23rd of 2022. So the study identified at least 9 reports of myocarditis and pericarditis after a vaccine, and 7 of the 9 reports were verified by our medical review teams. And when pushed for more current data, the spokesman for the CDC isn't making any of this information public, any of the updated safety data. They'll say, you'll get it when it's appropriate. Right. All right, moving along, Quack Report. 96 of pharmacy techs report drug shortages, while 45% of patients leave their pharmacies without a prescription in hand. That's right. That's what's being reported. Anthony Lango, director of the pharmacy and director of pharmacy at Northwell Long Island Jewish Forest Hills in Queens, has warned that these drug shortages are affecting several areas of pharmacy practice, retail, compounding pharmacies, and also hospitals. Shortages of essential drugs, especially chemotherapy meds, anesthetics, pain meds, and so forth. Moving along, Paul Offit, remember that guy, Frank? The guy that said children, infants can have 10,000 vaccines in one day and they'd be just fine? Well, he has decided not to get the FDA advice and get the vaccine, the new one coming out. He's rejected that. Yes, he has decided that due to the propensity to cause heart failure, he's not going to get it. Well, no uncertain terms, he's repeatedly warned, you know, that the boosters, the newest thing, got to go get them. Complete your vaccine history, blah, blah, blah. But no vaccine or booster for him, obviously. What'd you say, Frank? Well, he should be forced to get it. Last but not least, the Quack Report. Uncovering ancient building secrets long-term structures. Hey, this is really cool, Frank. Ancient builders across our world, you know, these structures are still standing 2,000 years later. So now they're looking into what the Roman engineers knew, the Aztecs and all these things, the Mayas, what their masons used, how they crafted their sculptures, the Chinese builders as well, with all these walls that, you know, are still standing up against time. Because right now, modern-day concrete, what, last 50 to 100 years, tops? So scientists have been studying materials from long ago, and they're trying to reverse engineer them. And to their surprise, they're finding ingredients that were mixed in with the building materials, like tree bark, volcanic ash, rice, beer, and even human urine. So these unexpected add-ins could, they say, be the key to some pretty impressive properties, like the ability to get stronger mortar over time because it can heal cracks as they form. I think this is neat. They're figuring out how to copy these features could have real impacts while the modern concrete has strength to hold up our skyscrapers and stuff. It can't compete with endurance like the ancient materials will have. So even in harbors where seawater's been battering these structures, Frank, for ages, it's basically, look, the 2,000-year-old concrete looks like it was poured yesterday, according to John Olson, archaeologist, University of Victoria in Canada. So now scientists think they found the key thing of the Roman concrete was held up structures for thousands of years. Even if you go into the catacombs, all their burial sites are still pristine. So the ancient material has this unusual power to repair itself, they're finding. Exactly how it's doing it, it's really not clear. But scientists are starting to find some clues. The builders would gather volcanic rocks left behind after eruptions, mix it with the concrete. This would naturally reactivate material and make changes over time as it interacts with elements, according to their research. It allows the cracks to be resealed as they develop. The ability to keep adapting over time, it is truly a genius of material, and the concrete was so well designed, it has sustained itself. Well, what did the ancients know that we don't know? We're supposed to be smarter than them, right? Mm-hmm. And that wraps the quack report. That's all, folks. All right. Thank you, Frank. Okay. Make sure my button's not pushed in so you can hear me. All right. We're going to be talking about this 3D printer food of the future. This is from the American Chemical Society. They published this report August 2023 on fake seafood to help save the planet. As you've been told, harvesting real seafood from the waters is an environmental hazard now, and it's unsustainable. But, of course, that is pretty much just the sales pitch being used to introduce another, you know, fake food source, as well as your GMO crops. So the scientists are calling their creation mock seafood. Emphasis on the mock. According to the report, they said, quote, "We have a new approach for creating desirable vegan seafood that mimics the taste while maintaining the healthful profile of real fish," end of quote. So what's in it? Yeah, what's in this plant-based mimic? Well, the research teams state that they use the following to manufacture their fake seafood with a 3D printer with ink made from microalgae protein, mung bean protein, and plant-based oils with omega-3 fatty acid. Now, mung bean protein is a waste product from manufacturing starch noodles, and scientists are really not sure if this product they're making with this new combination of ingredients is going to promote any food allergies. Well, most waste grain materials tend to induce allergies in humans and pets, so FYI. Now, they went on to say, quote, "We choose microalgae as some already have a fishy taste, and we plan to try it on making a squid ring, also known as calamari, according to the research team." So, according to the report, they took fake calamari and air fried it as a fake fish snack. And this plant-based seafood alternative food source, they hope to compete with the fake meat products that are in the refrigerated aisle in your store. And we're told that more mock seafood options are in the works. And according to the American Chemical Society, they said, "I think it's imminent that the seafood supply could be very limited in the future. So we need to be prepared for an alternative protein point of view, especially in areas that rely heavily on imported foods," end of quote. Well, there's lots of, you know, countries that, you know, do a lot of fish. They're saying the planet's running out of food, Frank. The sky's falling and the earth is flat. So we've been hearing this message over and over that the earth cannot sustain the population and it's going to run out of food. Run out of food suggests a worldwide famine, yet the earth has never run out of food simultaneously on a global scale. So when you destroy the animal husbandry sector and you burn down the food processing plants, well, yeah, then you would see some food shortages. So, but that's deliberate. It's not an environmental sustainability issue. It's intentional sabotage, and it's a man-made sinful issue, and it's not a creator issue. So what man should focus really on is better laws to prevent water pollution and corruption in the food industry. What'd you say, Frank? How much of the water does the Bible say will go bad? Well, they are poisoning the oceans and the farms and the ranches. I'm with you on that, Frank. I'm totally with you. All right, so it's kind of a stepping stone. That's what I'm seeing here, that the consumers are acquainted with seafood products like your crab meat or your lobster made from minced, grease-shaped pollock or whitefish ingredients, and they attempt to get that texture and that flavor really close to the original, but it's really not the same. So how do you get the original nutrition in the fake seafood on top of the texture and the flavor problem? Well, according to the research, it is difficult to achieve this nutritional content, this texture, and this taste with plant-based fake seafoods. But I can see why. Here's what they're using. Vegetables and fungi. Yeah. And how they programmed the printer to lay down the ink, how they program it affects the product texture in the end. Is it going to be flaky? Is it going to be firm? Is it going to be rubbery? So this type of food development is pretty global, though, Frank. That's what they're doing. Here's a quote from American Chemical again. They go, depositing the edible ink layer by layer created different textures, some fatty and some smooth and some fibrous and some chewy in a single product. And recently, this research group at the National University of Singapore has also used legume protein to develop better seafood mimics, end of quote. And they go on to say, we printed salmon fillets with protein from red lentils because of the protein's color, and we've printed shrimp. And now we are printing something else interesting with the potential of commercialization of calamari rings. Commercialization of calamari. Do you eat calamari, Frank? You know, you go to an Italian restaurant, they're going to offer that as an appetizer. But in the near future, you have to wonder if Italian restaurants the world over are going to maintain their global sustainability compliance, and they may need to serve some fake calamari, yeah, as an appetizer. And how much of it will be passed off as the real thing? Well, what will happen to the real seafood market, as seafood is among the most internationally traded food commodity, right? So, Frank says he ate calamari in Hawaii. Okay. The old squid entree, or hors d'oeuvre, I guess. Well, American Chemical Society also says, we expect that in the next few years, these calamari-like products could be available in fine dining restaurants or specialty outlets, end of quote. Oh, food alternatives. This is what we're seeing. Huge market. They're getting a lot of backing from investors. And looking at the meat alternatives on your market, most of the fake plant-based hamburgers, for instance, are going to contain wheat or soy-based tofu ingredients. And most of the soy now is GMO, and the wheat is infused with a lot of glyphosate unless it's organic wheat. So some people describe artificial meat as having a texture that's kind of rubbery and non-greasy. So if you're eating what should be a hamburger, that's wrong. That whole texture and non-greasy thing is wrong. Now, some of the GMO ingredients that may be found in your fake foods are going to be corn starch, and lecithin from corn. As you know, most of your corn is GMO. Alfalfa, sugar, soybean and soy oil, potato, also genetically modified, apple, beets, sugar beets, papaya, rapeseed oil, high fructose corn syrup, summer squash, cottonseed oil, eggplant, pineapple, salmon, chickpeas, rice, barley, cottonseed oil, and zucchini. These could all be in these alternative food sources that you're going to see in your supermarket. And according to a Chelsea Foley researcher, managing editor of humanprogress.org, says, humanity is continuously innovating to produce more food with less land, less water, and fewer emissions, and this helps to bring the cost of food down, end of quote. I don't know about you, but the food has gone up. Right, Frank? Food's gone up. And you got to realize GMO foods are not healthy foods. According to Jeffrey Smith, he's a funding executive director of the Institute of Responsible Technology, He says we don't know the half of what's going into our food supply right now. This is what he says. He says they're putting spider genes into goats, so their milk will have spider protein in it. Cow genes are being inserted into pigs so that their hides will be more like cow hide. And they're putting human genes into corn to make spermicides. End of quote. So you may recall, April 2023 this year, we reported on the inflammation your GMO foods are causing in humans and animals. And Smith is confirming a lot of what that new research is now showing, because he said this in 2016. He says, let's start with the gut, the primary interface between food and the rest of your body. The gut wall is a complex system of defenses against unfamiliar and potentially damaging compounds. And you can think of it as a highly tightly woven mesh fence whose openings are just large enough to allow small, friendly, recognizable breakdown products of digested food like amino acids and glucose to pass through and enter into the bloodstream. Simultaneously, the gut wall is charged with preventing stuff that doesn't belong in the bloodstream from getting in there. So the gut is our biggest immune system organ, and when those tight structures in the gut wall weaken and allow food particles to pass directly into the bloodstream, a condition known as increased intestinal permeability or leaky gut syndrome, all hell can break loose, if you got that, he says. He goes on to say, when the body's defense system doesn't recognize a molecule as a friendly citizen of your body, its very first response is inflammation. It's a vicious and exhausting cycle that ultimately leaves the poor immune system overwhelmed. End of quote. So that's what your genetically modified foods do to you. And gastroenterologists are now seeing this. Their waiting rooms are packed full of people. So more scientists are actually seeing the connection between the kind of foods we eat and the overall ill health. So GMO foods may save water and energy, but it can also produce unintended outcomes. Here is a quote from Jeffrey one more time. He says, the very process of genetic engineering produces unpredictable side effects. And Martha Grout, she's a medical doctor of the Arizona Center for Advanced Medicine, she says many of the diseases that we deal with, in fact, most of the diseases that we deal with, begin with inflammation. And for many of them, the source of that inflammation is the gut, which, of course, is the main interface between the body and the food of any kind, including your GMO food, end of quote. She goes on to say, in fact, numerous gut diseases have increased exponentially since GMOs were widely introduced into the food supply, including ulcerative colitis, chronic constipation, gastrointestinal infections, Crohn's disease, and gastroesophageal reflux or your GERD. But she says inflammation goes way beyond just gut disorders. I think we should look into allergies, autoimmune diseases, heart disease, kidney disease, diabetes, anything that's related to inflammation, end of quote. And she's spot on there. Let's see. This is the journal Entropy 2013. They said this. The negative impact of glyphosate used on crops and it gets into the body is insidious, and it manifests slowly over time as an inflammation damages your cellular systems throughout the body. The consequences of this inflammation are most of the diseases and conditions that are associated with our Western diet, which include gastrointestinal disorders, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's. End quote. So you got some far-reaching impact here. The GMO crops have reached into other products other than just your food in stores. So ingredients from GMO crops are amino acids, aspartame, ascorbic acid or vitamin C, sodium ascorbate, citric acid, sodium citrate, ethanol, flavorings, either natural or artificial, lactic acid, malodroxetin, molasses, monosodium glutamate, sucrose, textured vegetable protein, xanthan gum, vitamins, and yeast. Now, it's no wonder a majority of Americans look swollen, bloated, and diagnosed with a disease. They are being poisoned on several fronts. That's it. So, we have a choice. And that's the beauty. We can defend ourselves if we make decisions, the right ones. So, as we can see, detoxing is now a necessary defensive action we have to use. And we have to be extremely careful what foods we eat. So if you don't read your food ingredient list, you are probably being poisoned. Cooking your own organic food is now a required method to protect your health, cleanse and nourish your body, and this is a way to avoid health problems also. Call Apothecary Herbs. They have organic, professional strength herbs for your organ detox cleansing, your immune support, your metabolic support. You might want to check out their organic anti-inflammatory liquids, their body cleanse or bowel cleanse kits, and their body foundation food mix. They do have a free product catalog. You can definitely give them a call for that. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., the number is 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Visit them on the web, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. You know, somebody called me today, Frank, and they said they thought they typed in our web address, Apothecary Herbs, and they said this website is permanently closed. Well, it's not. If you type in Apothecary Herbs, make sure you put .com at the end. Yes, we still have that domain, but people have trouble spelling apothecary. So that's why we use the Power Herbs, much easier to remember, and it's the title of my book, The Power Herbs. So thepowerherbs.com. Yes, get empowered. Now, if you're on the website and you like information like this, which can be empowering and can save you from lots of tragedies, really, in the food area, then you definitely want to sign up for the newsletters. They have the Health Quest and the American Survival, and they're absolutely free. So you go to thepowerherbs.com. Click on the books and newsletters, and you can sign up there for free, but you have to have an email address to get them because they're only delivered by email. So no hard copies. They're only delivered by email, but they're absolutely free. Yes, Frank says, and you also have herbtalklive.com too. I do have that domain. So all that does point to the website. I also have wendyjwilson.com, and it points to the website as well. So we have several domains pointing to the, we have herbaldetective.com, you know? Remember the herbal detective, Frank? Maybe we should bring him back, right? Oh, he was neat. So, oh, I can see by the clock we're going to take a break. So we'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
To the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Fatigue. Anybody out there want to be better at resisting fatigue? I mean, my hand's up. I hope yours is too. Because, hey, a lot of people feeling really sluggish lately. And if you're eating a lot of GMO stuff, that could be part of it. There's a lot of... What, Frank? I'm listening. Okay. So, there's a lot of people saying that, you know, and there's things out there. People are promoting a lot of stamina stuff, and people seem to be exhausted. And they're looking at more nutrition to give them some endurance and stamina. And this is telling me that a majority of folks are not making the right food choices on a daily basis. And they're also possibly not scheduling some time, some me time in for some exercise, which goes a long way for stamina as well. Now, physical activity, especially when you're in adolescence age, that will improve strength and endurance. It will also improve your health and stability of your bones and your muscles and help control your weight. And as we get older, we need that kind of help and control. So regular exercise of any kind is going to reduce anxiety and stress, improve cardiovascular health, boost your self-esteem, and also go a long way for making you feel not so, you know, fatigued. What'd you say, Frank? The Bible does say that the saints will be worn out. Yes, in the latter days. Yes, yes, and that's why he's shortening them. Have you not noticed the days are shorter? I mean, where did this year go? I mean, Christmas is already showing up in the stores. So, yeah, you're right about that, Frank. So, a lot of spiritual endurance is helpful, too. Make sure you got the Holy Spirit with you. But let's look at some stats here. U.S. Department of Health says that our youth, 16 to 17, need regular exercise, an hour each day. But our public school systems, their survey informs parents that only 29% of the school children across the United States get 60 minutes of regular exercise a day. And the survey also revealed that our U.S. public schools are not allowing enough exercise time during the school day for students. They included a lot of volunteer teams that had sport programs and things like that, basketball, football. But, you know, not everybody's on a team. So some of your regular kids are falling through the cracks. They also say adults are not getting enough regular exercise either. The CDC says 60% of the U.S. adults are not getting enough physical activity. In addition, I have found that a lot of stats are very interesting. You need, for instance, to laugh 100 times to equal 10 minutes of exercise. 100 times. That's an interesting statistic. Now, the human body has 650 muscles that need regular exercise and to be stimulated for us to be healthy. So if you want to maintain a healthy weight, you have to exercise. Try to exercise 5 days a week for at least 30 minutes a day in that work week. You know, we have about 47% of U.S. adults meeting that physical activity guideline, getting some aerobic in. You know, find your workout that fits you. That's the big deal. You know, find something fun. That way you'll do it. If you need an exercise buddy, okay, that's fine. But, you know, if the workout's too aggressive and causes injuries, that's going to put you on the sideline. That's not going to help. So make sure you discuss your exercise routines with your medical providers, maybe your chiropractor, whoever it is you look to. Make sure that your exercise routine fits well for you and won't cause injury. But make it fun. I mean, you know, some people like the dance exercise routines. You can get them on DVDs now and on stream, download them and have them on your computer or your tablet, and you can do them at home. You know, actually don't have to be at a gym. So, I mean, there's things like, I don't know, hey, Frank, want to pick up a belly dancing exercise DVD? So there's lots of ways to exercise and keep it real. And there's also a really great exercise by Callan Pinkley. It's called Callanetics, and it's really about toning. So if you want to drop dress sizes and pant sizes, that is an excellent. And it's like 10 hours of aerobics in like 40 minutes of her program. Because you're using certain muscles. So I think it's fascinating. So it's good stuff. Also, some foods and some herbs that help give back to the body some energy and stamina. You want foods and herbs that can, you know, tap into those energy and stamina values, provide the body with vitality and strength. So you can add them, you know, to your lifestyle. We're going to talk about them. Here they are. Dandelion's on the list. Likely you've heard about dandelion's ability to help fight off cancer, but the plant also is packed full of minerals, and minerals are crazy needed for your bone and muscle strength. So what makes it unique is the dandelion has a very balanced mineral profile that supports your electrolytes, and this supports the body's balance of, fluids and your diuretic effect. So dandelion helps the liver store your vitamin A, which the liver releases to supply nutrition and energy to your entire system. So dandelion, you can drink some dandelion root tea. They sell dandelion root tea at the store, grocery store, if you can look on the tea aisle. If you need something stronger, then I would use a tincture. Let's talk about the next one. Beetroot's on the list. A lot of minerals, again, in your amazing beetroot. Very good for the cardiovascular system. It helps your body pump more oxygen-rich blood through the system. And beets have lots of iron in them, so if you get adequate iron, it holds on to oxygen better. The red blood cells deliver more oxygen. So this provides more nutrition to your muscles and also can improve exercise performance by about 20%. So athletes love to tap into beetroot to improve their performance. The nitrate in your beetroot is thought to be an enhancing element. Nitrates are also found in your leafy green vegetables, fennel, leeks, spinach. So think of your beetroot as a trickle battery charger on your cells. Think about it that way. Also, let's look at astragalus root. It's on the list. Astragalus root is well known for its immune support capability, but it's also one of those really great herbs that can offer additional support. Animal studies from 1986 have shown that this herb provides stamina and endurance. Studies from 1983 and 1992 showed that astragalus root strengthens heart contractions and assists with fatigue. It also is helpful with ischemic heart diseases, heart failure, angina, and liver function against, let's say, poisoning. So if you eat a poisonous mushroom, you definitely want to have some herbs like that. Ginseng root, yes, it's one of those energy herbs. Most folks know about ginseng's ability to give you a lift of energy. Scientists in Sweden have studied ginseng extracts, and they see that it does indeed improve quality of life. They tested 25-year-olds, and some took the placebo, and some took a ginseng, and their results reported that the group that had the ginseng showed significant increases in alertness, being relaxed, appetite, great appetite, greater mental and physical capability, capacity to do work. And, you know, you can tap into ginseng if you want to feel less tired and at the end of the workday. What I like also about ginseng, it pairs well with other herbs and magnifies the other herbs' power. So if you needed a little more boost out of an immune support herb, you can add a little ginseng. I will say this, if you do have weak cardio function, ginseng can give you a bit of a heart flutter, so maybe stay away from it if you have weak cardio on the ginseng side. So you got some fatigue busters here. Also, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have every one of those herbs we just talked about, plus another formula called adrenal gland formula. So if your adrenal glands are exhausted, then yes, you're going to need some support TLC for your adrenal glands. To give you some strength and energy and oomph, as they say. So you can give them a call. They have the dandelion. They have the astragalus root. They have the beetroot. It's in their body food mix. They have the Siberian ginseng. They also have American ginseng. And, of course, adrenal gland formulas. So these are all professional certified organic formulas that are designed. They have professional strength capabilities, so you will notice the difference compared to what you would normally find in stores. So thepowerherbs.com, you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com and call them at 866-229-3663 and to get a free catalog and see what I mean. Be empowered. That's what it's about. Be empowered. Yep. All right. So we got some time. So we're going to be talking about some ancient things, you know, how, you know, old medicine, as it were, kind of fell from favor and got resurrected back in the 50s and 60s. So history is really packed full of examples of your medicinal herbs, your healing herbs. Nothing puts a stamp of approval on medicinal herbs better than during the time of our Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it was well known that the Romans and the Greeks were accustomed to using medicinal herbs as it was the standard for that time. And as this time, the healing focus focused on improving health by influencing the body's fluids. That's what they focused on back then. So at your time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there wasn't really any IV drips, but there were various herbs which improved circulation and helped the organs function. So we're going to take a look at these. We're going to look at some of the common therapies of 2,000 years ago, for instance. So if we, you know, teleport ourselves back in time to the streets of the ancient world, we would encounter the common therapies of what is called hydrotherapy, also sweat tents, and purging or bloodletting. So today, modern medicine uses a chemical form of bloodletting to help control blood pressure. So drugs to thin the blood are not as messy as making incision and removing blood that way. Also, anticoagulants and diuretics that are in drugs of choice also remove water from the blood and lower blood pressure, but they come with a lot of side effects. Artificial fevers were also used by the ancients to purge toxins quickly from the body, so a lot of times they'd put you in a sweat tent, make you get really hot. And they used hydrotherapy to also accomplish the same thing, back and forth between hot and cold, hot and cold. So sea captains would use these types of hydrotherapy things on crew members if they became ill. They would have sweat tents on board. So let's look at some of the powerful herbs. Several herbs that were used down through the centuries specifically influenced or moved blood, mucus or phlegm, and even bile. So the ancients knew that fluids that became stagnant in the body can bring serious infection or sepsis and death. So medicinal herbs often proved their use on the field of battle even. So everywhere in the Roman army, everywhere they went, they brought with them physicians who would plant herb gardens during long sieges. And they would often bring a supply of thyme, hyssop, honey, and various medicinal roots. So this is what they did in the ancient world. And we're going to take note about something. The wise men are said to have brought the child Jesus some frankincense as a gift, right? So it was indeed a valuable item, for it was used as an antiseptic, and it was often used when someone came down with a cold or a cough. So frankincense was known for its strengthening ability of the body. It was an herb that was part of the ancient world's medicine cabinet, if you will. Another herb that the wise men brought Jesus was myrrh. Now, this herb was numerously full of medicinal properties, and it was often known as an antibacterial, an antifungal, an anti-inflammatory, and an astringent effect. So the parents of Jesus most likely would have embodied myrrh to help move body fluids and to improve circulation of the blood and also to strengthen the immune system. Now, garlic was also, it's also been an ancient medicinal, and it was also a culinary herb. But trained physicians in the ancient world knew garlic could help expel parasites, reduce infections, bacterial, fungal, viral, and also improve your digestion. So aloe, and again, another herb often applied as a medicinal treatment, and also you had aromatic spices, which were also used, like cinnamon and mustard and cayenne. And it's also said that these herbs were often used as an exchange for currency. So that mint and rue, often noted in Luke chapter 11, were used for currency. People also paid tithes that way. And then the pharmacy kind of grew out of the ancient world. The natural medicines, they have a long history. And in modern science, there has been this pull away from the benefit of herbs, the phytotherapy herbs or the phototherapy herbs. And there's this push towards your synthetic chemicals designed to be exceedingly potent or toxic. So in the 1600s, the documentation on herbs was sought after because, you know, the Western European medicine relied so heavily on them. And before the synthetic chemicals were used here in the United States to make drugs, the herbs were the medicinal standard ingredient. So pharmaceutical companies, they actually have pawed through the Egyptian Eber's Papyrus from 1500 BC. It's a document referencing 700 different herbs and their uses. So why is a drug company doing that when they're telling everybody drugs are better and herbs are impotent? They don't do anything. Well, this Egyptian Eber's Papyrus was the ancient world's plant medicine pharmacopoeia listing. And the pharmaceutical companies have pored over all the ancient texts from the 4th century before Jesus Christ. They're digging up the Greek and the Asian history on plants. And any text that, you know, survived the fire at the Library of Alexandria. Oh, yeah. So, archaeological dig sites that uncover herbal information from the Bronze Age are even also inspected by drug companies. They want to know. So from there, science has dissected the medicinal plants in order to decode them and to make them into what is called patented synthetic drugs. And it is the opinion of science that the synthetics are an improvement over what God made in herbs. And when science removes the organic side of the herbal medicine, it can persuade people not to grow herbs for medicine that could take care of them. So today, pharmaceutical drugs contain anywhere from 0 to 25% natural ingredients, with a majority falling into the 2% category. And at one time, scientific medicine routinely used about 7,000 herb compounds to make their drugs. And today, that number is a mere 120 isolated compounds. So it's funny how the Australian government's Department of Health published a review of these herbal therapies, which might be worthy to look at for health insurance coverage. That's what they said. So they concluded, out of the 17 categories evaluated, there was no evidence of herb medicine effectiveness. I don't believe that for a minute. Not for a minute. Well, in Europe, the situation with herbal medicine overseas is kind of different than in the United States. Like in the UK and Germany and other European Union countries, herbal medicine, essential oils, and herbal teas are kind of sold alongside your prescribed medical drugs. And to the Europeans, herbal medicine is viewed as a preferred pure medicine compound compared to the industrial produced drugs. And obviously the Europeans feel that natural is better, and I agree. Now, when you go over to the European Union, though, a lot of times, especially as, for instance, like in Germany, if you want, let's say, a echinacea root, you're going to have a doctor's prescription to buy it. Well, let's look at the definition of an herbalist real quick. The most common definition of an herbalist is one who studies and uses herbs. A more detailed list will describe a master herbalist, who a person dedicated to the use of medicinal plants, someone skilled in harvesting, collecting, or wild crafting the use of medicinal plants, someone trained in the dispensing of herbal medicines, someone skilled in the therapeutic use of their medicinal plants, and someone skilled in the preparation or manufacture of the herbal medicines. So there's really no set standard of training for an herbalist, as the training varies from region to region. And some countries do require state-funded universities to train herbalists, such as in the UK and in Switzerland. Now, in Australia, there is what is known as a self-regulated status, with different educational standards and different associates that people can join. And the UN, the WHO, the European Union, all these entities are working on directives to unify or globalize the standard for herbal medicine and herbalists. With government intervention like this, there's going to be taxation, licensing, all that stuff, and, pushing the price of everything up. That's usually what happens. So basically, if you're going to use your medicinal plants, learn about them. And what I like about Apothecary Herbs, what we like to do is educate our customers as we serve them really great tools, herbal tools. So you'll get info sheets on your herbal medicines with each product. So it's just a little info sheet that explains a little bit more about the plant and some of the traditional and common uses of the plant. And that's kind of a class each time you get a package in the mail. It's sort of like learning. And so you're going to be an educated consumer when we're done with you, and you're going to know how herbs are supposed to look, how they're supposed to taste. For instance, if you're getting echinacea, cold and flu season's coming up, most people kind of like the stock echinacea, which helps shorten illnesses, helps with the macrophage antibody count and all that. echinacea, if it's potent, if it's like it's made right, it should have a little numbing effect on your taste buds for a few seconds. Okay? So if you don't have that, your echinacea formula is pretty weak. Also, another plant like lobelia, which we like to use for certain things, great for decongesting if you got congestion. Lobelia's got a signature taste too, and you will learn that it has a little prickly sensation in the back of the throat when you take it, but it only lasts a few seconds, and it's gone. So you're going to be a connoisseur of herbs, you know, if you're going to be dealing with apothecary herbs, because they are going to educate you on these details so that when you buy products wherever you go, you know, if your echinacea is not numb in the tongue, you're going to say, okay, well, this isn't real potent. Or if you're buying lobelia as a decongestant and it doesn't have that prickly sensation, well, then you know you didn't get all 16 alkaloids out of that plant. That product does not have all the alkaloids in it. So this is what you learn. It's really key to helping you understand medicinal herbs, how they function, how they help you, how your body responds to them. And that's important. Definitely important how you respond to anything, food, spices, herbs. It's real important. And that first segment today on the leaky gut, do the inflammatory response from certain foods, especially GMO, that's huge. That is really huge because you can become allergic to common things like lemon, cinnamon, you know, almonds, anything. And then your body has an inflammatory reaction to it because it looks at it as a foreign agent. It's almost like an autoimmune lapse. So, be really, really wise with your food sources, what you put in the body, because you can, you know, may take a while, but, you know, you can wind up with a really serious problem. And if you don't know about how to fix it, you don't have an herbalist, you don't have a naturopath, you're going to be in a world of hurt, because allopathic medicine doesn't fix that stuff. They just give you, you know, lollipops for the symptoms, try to lower the symptom so that you can, you know, can continue to die from your condition in relatively less pain. So not my idea of wellness at all, but that's basically what we have. So you got two different philosophies of wellness. You got, you know, the petrochemical side and the drugs and surgery side, and you got the nutrition and wellness side. You should choose. Don't fence it. Use one or the other because they don't mix well together. So do your due diligence. Learn now, because the time to shoot the gun, learn to shoot the gun, is not during the war. It's before the war. So learn now. Learn all you can now. Get what you need now. Because as I mentioned last time, Frank, we're seeing some hiccups in the bulk herbals food supply chain. So some things are becoming not available. So don't wait. If you're needing things, I would say get some now. Before the end of this year, get some things now. I can see by the clock I'm out of time, so don't forget to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. Get their free catalog, 866-229-3663, or visit them at thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare before a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.